Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey you, summer's almost here. Why not kick it off with Stitcher Premium?
Oh, and to celebrate, they have an amazing Memorial Day deal going on that you do not want to miss.
Get 30% off your first payment for a limited time when you go to stitcherpremium.com/Memorial Day and use code SUMMER. That's less than $25 for an entire year of Stitcher Premium.
Oh, Matt, that means you can spend warm summer nights binging on comedy originals like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, and Paul F. Tompkins' new show, Threedom, or Big Grande's Teacher Lounge, which the AV Club says, quote, mines pure gold from education's underbelly, exclam, close quote.
I don't know about warm summer nights, but I like hot summer nights, and you might as well spend your hot summer nights listening to some Super Ego and maybe even in the future, some commentaries on Bond movies from these very two people talking right now.
Oh, could you imagine if we actually got off our butts and did it?
We owe it to these two people. With Stitcher Premium, you also get 21,000 hours of original content like Marvel's Wolverine and Issa Rae's Fruit, access to exclusive bonus episodes of your favorite podcasts, ad-free archives, and hundreds of stand-up comedy albums.
You know, to do all of this, all you have to do is go to stitcherpremium.com/Memorial Day and use the promo code SUMMER for 30% off your first payment.
Matt, welcome to this episode of James Bonding, where it's, do you know how in the 70s how they used to have...
You're starting it wrong, Matt. You're starting it wrong.
Why?
Welcome to James Bonding. I'm Matt.
I'm Matt.
Now go.
Okay, Matt, welcome to James Bonding. Do you know how in the 70s, when people used to go on, let's say, vacations abroad, and they would bring back one of those carousel slide... Well, they wouldn't bring it back. They already had it. But they brought back their pictures and had everyone in the neighborhood over to show them their trip.
Yeah, usually in a basement. I remember it being dark and cool and the hum of that projector, Matt.
That's what this is going to be for you and the listener. An audio slideshow of my trip to the James Bond Pitts Glory, a Bond World exhibit and Alpine observation deck. And I'm going to take you through it.
Matt, I think right now we should stop recording, run away, and copyright audio slideshow.
I think you're right. I think that's a great idea.
This is an audio slideshow. I'm excited. Matt, you went on vacation. How long were you there?
Well, we were gone 10 days, so I guess, you know, 9 nights, something like that. I'm not sure.
And you still haven't recovered from your jet lag.
That's true. It's over a week and a half later, and we're recording this at 4 p.m., and I just woke up from a nap. I don't handle jet lag well. I did fine on the trip, but when I get back, it stays with me.
That is... Yeah, have you tried like any melatonin or anything like that?
That's part of the problem. As a matter of fact, I have started taking melatonin for the first time, and it is just, it's like, I'm so tired the next day, and I have the longest, most vivid dreams. I had what seemed like a 5-hour dream about trying to find Margo in another city last night.
The late, great Margo Kidder, of course.
I wish. I watched Superman and Superman 2 in her honor. So many Bond crossovers in that movie.
Was that, did you do that, what time of day did you do that? Because this might have something to do with your jet lag, Matt. What, when were you watching both Superman movies?
Well, they were separate days, and I often get up, and, you know, often I work from home. In this case, I was doing some illustration, and so I put them on around 10 or 11 a.m.
Do you know what I did this morning?
What?
Last Action Hero was on television.
Charles Dance from For Your Eyes Only. Isn't
Charles
he the
Dance
villain
is
in that?
There. He is the I guess the main villain,
right?
In that, yeah, with the glass eye,
yeah,
that has a bullseye on it or a happy face depending on his mood,
right?
Back and when, quite frankly, I've never seen the movie all the way through, and boy, they almost had a good movie there. Like, it's so close to being a good movie.
Yeah, I should check that up again.
So much opportunity. But anyway, if you miss late Art Carney, that's what I call it, late period Art Carney.
Oh, I sure do.
Have a watch. I think Schwarzenegger is very charming in it.
That's
as
nice.
Jack Slater.
Yeah.
This, of course, is now Jack Slatering. This is not a James Bonding podcast. We're going to talk about the fictional character Jack Slater, which had four movies as of 1993.
Lasting action hero.
Oh, I like it. So Matt, I want to set up this first audio slide for me. What's
okay, so
happening?
Yeah, what I should mention here is I actually did recordings when I was there with my wife Amanda. It was a bit of a vacation and an anniversary, but also turns out a working trip to do some podcasting for James Bonding. So first place we went, we got off the plane in Zurich. We went for a night in Lucerne, which is this amazing, beautiful city, but then headed up to the Lauterbrunnen Valley in the small village of Muren, which has no cars. You have to take a cable car up there, right? And this is at the base of the cable car that goes up to the Schilthorn Mountain, which is where Piz Gloria is. Mm-hmm. And so the night before we went up, and we were deciding which night we should go up because the weather wasn't looking great. You wanted it to be as clear as possible. And
right.
All of this, of course, from On Her Majesty's Secret Service. We don't need to tell you people this. But the night before, we were eating at the Hotel Jungfrau restaurant and just struck up a conversation with a couple of our table neighbors. And turns out they were Bond fans in some form or another. So I decided, before I even ascend the mountain, let's interview and get the pulse of the people and how they feel about James Bond before we go up. So this is just a prologue to what you'll hear here in this episode.
I can't wait. And Matt, now I want you to set the stage for me visually here. Is this like a banquet table you're at? What's the scenario?
No, it's kind of, you know, European style, where there's a lot of two top tables in a row. So like one side is a bench booth and the other side is tables, but they're very closely situated to each other.
Yeah.
So first off, we were offered some wine, and the nice man next to us was drinking a mug of beer that was the size of a boot. I mean, it was just gigantic. And even he was like, I don't know what to do with this. And then another nice couple sat in between. And so I may edit this because we were all probably half in the bag. And
you're all half a boot in?
Yeah, and rambling. And then just so we can also get to the mountain stuff, which is very fun.
Well, I'm excited, Matt. I love this. It feels like we're all on vacation with Matt and Amanda.
That's right. Okay, here we go. The night before Piz Gloria. So I'm here at the Eiger Guesthouse in Muren, Switzerland, which is right at the base of Schilthorn, where we're going up tomorrow to see Piz Gloria. And we've been having a lovely dinner. Amanda's here. You all know Amanda.
Hello.
And we're talking James Bond with some lovely dinner patrons. What's your name?
Hi, my name is Scott.
Scott, what are your feelings? You got some strong feelings on Roger Moore. It's okay. You're going to draw a line in the snow here.
You know, Roger, I'm sure you're a really nice guy, but I just never bought you as James Bond. You know, I mean, yeah, you're the James Bond I grew up with, but I could never take you seriously, man. You know, and there's a reason why they only show him running once.
He has trouble running and kissing, to be honest. His kisses are a little delicate, where Connery's, you know, a little more
Don't forget the special effects that happen right on the Schilthorn, where James Bond is, he's just trying to get off the
ski scene.
Oh, yeah. What's your name? Oh, my God. My name's Ilza.
Ilza?
Yes.
Wow, that's so appropriate here.
It's actually Latvian. Oh. But that was some serious, I don't know, stunt work on the part of the actor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the gift shop is hilarious. You know, I mean, everything around here is 007 still, even though it was 40 years ago. But yeah, but it's, I mean, you know, hold on to it. You know, I mean, why not?
It's a year away from being 50 years old. It was 1969, right?
I really don't know what the whole, you know, what the general popularity with Roger Moore was. I thought, you know, yeah, the in-betweener got kind of hosed a little bit, but
I have to admit of having a soft spot for Roger Moore. I was raised in the Roger Moore era. I totally understand the difference, and I love Connery, but there's something so campy about Roger Moore. And then he died on my birthday.
Oh, no, really? Oh no. Yeah, there is a cheeky campiness with Roger Moore. There is that, you know, now with Roger Craig, or Daniel Craig. You know, there's definitely that darkness has returned. You know, that tough guy. You know, definite. Taking no crap kind of thing. So it's really interesting, you know, over the 50 years of James Bond, the morphing of the character, you know.
Are you giving a Bond recap? Yes. What can you say? You can just pass this down.
I like the first guy. The first guy's Connery, right?
Yeah. Well, technically the first guy's Barry Nelson and he's American, but...
What's fascinating, and Amanda, you brought it up.
Say your name.
Hi, I'm Kurt. I'm here in Murin with my wife, Penny, and we've met these folks, and it's really nice. But what's fascinating, Amanda, you just said it, people associate James Bond with the generation that they grew up in. Like Sean Connery was my Bond, and right? And Pierce Brosnan. So I don't know if it was the man, Pierce Brosnan, that made him your, or the generation that made him your Bond, right? But fascinating.
How do you guys feel about Daniel Craig? I love him.
He really ended up doing a lot of, like, the blood and gore scenes. Like, do you remember that movie where he's getting whipped from underneath his chair?
Casino Royale. That's straight from the book.
I could barely watch that.
Well, Marty, do you want to give a summation or cap this up?
Oh, it's been a great meal and a great conversation.
Thank you all for talking to me. Appreciate it. Shoes.
Matt, that was a wonderful glimpse into that dinner. May I ask, what was being served at the bottom of the mountain?
I think I was having gnocchi, maybe, or spaghetti and meatballs. That's the lovely thing about Switzerland, is you're going to get like Italian food, German food, French food. It's everywhere. And again, enough beer so that we're all calling people Roger Craig and Pierce Brosnan.
Yeah, a couple questions off the top.
Yes.
Now, is this group of people that are there, are you together in some sort of tour group, or you just all happen to be eating at this restaurant?
We all just happen to be eating at this restaurant. Amanda and I were going solo.
Okay, so is it in a hotel? Is it a restaurant?
It's a restaurant that's actually part of a hotel, but that the hotel is up the road a little bit. And it wasn't our hotel, but it was this kind of beautiful chalet hotel that also had plaid carpet. So, you know, we were in good hands.
Yep. Yep. Plaid carpet. They're after your own heart there.
Right.
Now, my actual question to you, was anyone there a fan of the podcast, or were they all just a fan of vacations?
No. In fact, I had to show them how to even get a podcast on a phone. But I think that they were very intrigued by what this was. And if they're listening, hello, you all. Kurt,
hi,
Penny,
hi,
and
Kurt.
Scott, and Ilza?
Yes.
Yes.
Now, I do have to know, do you have any idea what ski scene the missus was talking about there.
I don't know exactly. I think she means this when she says special effects. I think she means like the stunt work.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, special effects ski scene, I immediately, my brain jumps to View to a Kill when he's in front of the green screen.
Yeah, well, there was some of that in this, the rear projection, but I think I think it's just a general term. Remember, most people live in the real world where that kind of terminology, it just, you know, it doesn't mean the same thing.
Do you have any photos of this gift shop that they were talking about?
The one up at Pitts Gloria?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I believe so. That's where I got you your chocolates.
Oh, let me tell you, my chocolates are on the desk, and I've eaten all but three pieces of it.
Oh, right. Good work.
I save it. I piece it out, Matt. I piece it out.
Okay.
Now, you also, you pulled a real comic book guy there with Barry Nelson. You dropped a Barry Nelson reference to these people.
Yeah, I hear that back, and I'm ashamed. And I wasn't thinking, like, I need to correct these people. I was thinking people listening will freak out if that's not corrected. And that's the worst, because it's like... It's just, you know how I always say, like, ask why you seek the cup of Christ. Is it for his glory or for yours? And it was for the glory of the listener, not me, but I still feel like I have sinned.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think we're going to get over it with what happens next. Matt, what's happening in the next clip? Are you guys now on your way up the mountain? Are you up there? What's happening?
It's one of those. It is the next day. And so from here on out, it's pretty much all of the Bond locations and stuff. So let's just listen and find out what this is. I think it's a bit shorter.
Oh, this is exciting, guys. Audio slideshows brought to you by Matt and Amanda.
So, Marty, here we are on the top of the world at Pitts Gloria in the Jungfrau region,
Schilthorn.
We're at the James Bond viewing deck, and we just came from a beautiful James Bond breakfast buffet in the rotating restaurant. How's this experience been for you so far?
I have to say it's truly, truly wonderful, because it really appeals on two levels. The kitschy Bond level, because they've really tricked it out Bond-wise, but it's kind of funny how they've done some of it, and I don't know if 100% of that is intentional. But then the view and the like vista of the Alps is truly breathtaking. It's incredible.
We've had some kind of bad weather, would you say? But today, some of the clouds kind of set back, and we're able to see the alpine peaks. It's really beautiful. We even have some blue skies.
Yeah, it's like we're sandwiched between two huge cloud layers, one way below us and one well enough above us. So there's this sliver of blue sky all across the horizon, and you can see, you know, 360 degree of the Alps is unbelievable.
And do you get the feeling that a lot of the people here are James Bond fans like you are, or just tourists?
Absolutely not. 100% tourists. I think I may be one of the only real Bond fans here, as far as I can tell. Although the nice people we met last night that you probably heard prior to this, one of them is quite a Bond fan, and he's been up here twice, and we saw them again today as well.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of the tourists doing the Charlie's Angel gun pose next to this cutout of who I believe to be Timothy Dalton.
No.
Oh, buddy. Who is it?
It's George Lazenby.
That's what I meant.
It's only George Lazenby up here.
Well, what about, who was the guy in the restaurant?
George Lazenby.
Okay, and I see.
That's him down there too, dressed as Hillary Brett.
Oh, because he was the Bond in this movie?
Yeah.
Okay, forgive my ignorance.
No, you're forgiven, of course. But you know what's amazing is we haven't even been in the museum yet. And if you go down, there's basically three levels. The top is the revolving bar. The middle is kind of like the entryway. And then the museum is down below. And that's where you go to the restrooms. And so down there, they're playing full Bond music. The score is like on Her Majesty's Secret Service theme came up when I was down there. But then you come up to the entry level and it's just playing Eric Clapton, Layla Unplugged, or like R.E.M.'s Man in the Moon, or 2000s Country.
Yeah.
Also, the bathrooms themselves are incredible. So every stall has like a foggy glass silhouette of a girl. And there's a
And the boys' bathroom is the
the Bond, and then it's the Bond girl you go into for the girl restroom.
And there's a big sign that says, aim like James, above the urinals, and another one that says, shake and not stir.
What does that mean?
I think it means, you know, you got to shake after you're done.
Oh, my God. The girls' room didn't have anything like that, but when you washed your hands, I think bullet shots went off.
Yeah, so when there's a big mirror in front of the sinks, and when you use, like, think when you motion activate the sinks, one of, like, three video images comes up through the mirror, and it's either Moneypenny, Bond, or Tracy, and then there's a sound bite, and then at one point Bond fires and the mirror cracks, and it's all inside the mirror, and that was pretty amazing.
Yeah, they must have used most of their restroom budget on the men's bathroom, because the ladies' room did not have those sorts of bells and whistles.
I think they used the entire budget on the men's bathroom. But we're going to walk out to the far end of the observation deck and talk about what we see too. So right now I'm passing by right where Bond was slid, or at least pulled by a cable on the ice when they attack Piz Gloria. Now, you recently watched this movie with me, so is any of it coming back?
Oh, yeah, all of it. Especially, oh, wow, I didn't see the side of the... Now, here's a large cutout of Lazenby when he's dressed up as the linguist.
Yeah, very good.
Wow.
Say Hilary Bray.
And he looks like a... Actually, the way... It's not really a cardboard cutout. It's kind of 3D, but the saturation of it makes it look like he's a corpse.
He also looks like an actor from the 60s playing a yellow-faced Chinese person, don't you think?
Whatever it is, it's upsetting. We should get a photo of that to post.
You know, I think it's safe to say you can go to my Instagram, at Matt Gorley, and you'll see a lot of this stuff on there.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to go. Maybe we should look through some of these, what would you call these, view finders?
Yeah. Telescopes, I guess.
Telescopes.
Or, yeah, binoculars.
Whoa. Wow.
They look like Flash Gordon spaceships.
And they're hot pink. Okay, I'm going to look through here and see what
hot pink is like a color that they chose for the theme of this
place. Accent color. It's all gray. It's nice. I like it. Yeah, so I can see through this telescope up to the mountains, really close. Not much action going on there.
And we learned that what we see from here are the three alpine mountains, the Eiger, Monk, and Jungfrau, which is the ogre, the monk, and the young maiden, and the monk is protecting
the maiden
from the ogre.
Get that?
You know. Let me look through this thing.
Okay.
Whoa. It feels like this is where you'd see Bond's buddy hanging by his climbing cables after they kill him.
Now, I am having the impulse right now to throw your cell phone over the edge of this mountain cliff.
Is it something I did?
No, I just... Do you ever get that, like...
No, but I know that feeling with you.
I just want to throw this cell phone over. Okay, okay, fair enough.
So, talk about your brunch that you had.
Oh, I had a great brunch. I started out with a latte. Not a latte, an espresso. And some muesli, some salmon, and some meats, a tomato. And then I went back for the warm food. I got some bacon and sausage and some yogurt, which I know is cold. And then I had a couple glasses of champagne, a Prosecco, but served in a little Bollinger champagne coupe. So
the bacon here is like, it might as well just be salt. Licks. It was so good.
It's real fatty.
Look at this little walk of fame. I don't think we can go out there, but there's like little markers for different, I don't know if it's
Bond characters, or something. It's hard to look from here. Hard to see.
Maybe it's the Angels of Death, all the women from Blofeld's lair.
Wow, this is really beautiful.
I also took a time-lapse video of the revolving restaurant too, which you can look for on my Instagram.
So should we put a cap on this for now, do some photos, and then get back on the log after we go to the museum?
Hey, Marty, that's a great idea. You sound like an experienced podcaster.
Well?
Well, what?
I am. Oh. I'm married to the best of them. The podcast hero, Matt Gorley.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for being so descriptive. I'm picturing the clouds below. I'm picturing the clouds above. I'm picturing just a beautiful blue strip in the middle there, Matt. I really enjoyed this. This is truly
an audio slideshow.
Slideshow.
Trademarked.
Now, let's talk about a couple things here. I think my main takeaway from this is I'd like to know more about this bathroom.
Okay, well, hold your tongue because I went in and recorded in the bathroom.
Yes! Okay, so we're going to get more information on that later.
Yeah.
Now, I'm on your Instagram right now, and those of you at home who'd like to follow Matt, you can do so. He's at Matt Gourley. My main takeaway here is that this place has probably the most photos of George Lazenby per square foot.
It has to. Yeah. No.
Like
question.
I'm talking beyond even George Lazenby's family's home.
Yeah. And you can see on there, I don't know if it's on mine, I think it is, Amanda's making the same face as George Lazenby as the cutout where he's dressed as yes. Hillary Bray, and he has such a weird expression on his face. It's hilarious. I'll try to post some more on there, but scroll back because I also have the 360-degree time-lapse video I took of the rotating brunch.
Yeah, it's... tell me a little bit more about the... James Bond brunch. Was it James Bond themed?
Nope, not at all. Nope.
Okay.
It was good. It was just, you know, like eggs, bacon, sausage, yeah. muesli, kind of a, you know, standard European
fare.
But a salty
bacon.
Man, I can taste
a salty
still.
Pork.
It was so good.
Do you think that this bacon in any way has affected your jet lag?
Yeah, I probably prolonged it.
Still in your system?
Yeah, I think so.
Did you at any point wish I was there?
Of course I did. Are you kidding me? Of course I did. I thought of you the whole time.
Now, by the way, we should just do this again as a tax write-off, fully. I mean, I know you can write this off because you've now used it for the podcast, but me personally, I need to go and write this off.
Yeah.
So we should probably do it at the same time.
I think the nice thing about Bond being in so many locations globally is you can just pick up a quick podcast recording and do it right out anywhere you go.
No, it's beautiful. Hey, Matt, are you familiar with Paul Scheer?
I am.
Okay, well, did you know that he watches a lot of bad movies for his podcast, How Did This Get Made, which we've both been on?
I love Paul, and I also know that Amy Nicholson, whom I also love, from The Canon, has a new podcast called Unspooled here on Earwolf.
Oh, my God. Guess what? The first episode, it's out right now, Matt.
I know. I've listened. Paul and Amy watch all the classic movies you're supposed to have seen, the all-time greats, like Citizen Kane.
And then they're going to watch everything on the AFI 100 list. I'm talking Taxi Driver, The Graduate, Pulp Fiction,
Diamonds
Tomorrow Never
Forever.
Dies.
No. No. They'll explore the crazy backstories like how a group of Hollywood bigwigs tried to stop Citizen Kane from being made. They wanted to burn it.
Ooh, and they bring on film experts to talk about what happened behind the scenes.
So you can listen to Unspooled now in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
You know what else is beautiful, man? I see it on your Instagram also. There is some James Bonding merch available, guys. This is think of it as a mini plug. I'd like to just go ahead and plug our Pod Swag store, where you can get, not only can you get your originals, your OGs, your Kananga balloons, and your Pigeon Double Take t-shirts, but available for purchase, you have signed poster by Matt and I. You can get a signed poster of us, the James Bonding podcast poster. But of course, the Ibrahim Mustafa's designed knick-knack Tabasco t-shirt is available in whatever size you choose. Go get it. It's amazing.
So
and
good.
I just feel like we haven't plugged it enough. There's that
That's
plug.
Right. Yeah. You can find all of that at podswag.com/bond. On our Instagrams. I'm also doing a new stunt spectacular drawing on this very film we're talking about today.
Well, you know, if you want to know what a stunt spectacular of James Bond might look like, audience, guess what? There's one place you can go. It's to Matt Gourley's website. It's mattgourley.com. Right there, you'll find a link to his meticulously designed Stunt Spectacular poster, a poster that he got samples printed and he said, no, this is not good enough. We need different paper. We need a different printing technique, because he knew that our audience is a discerning bunch. And quite frankly, he did right by you guys. And that is available for purchase to the Live and Let Die Stunt Spectacular, as though it were in Six Flags New Orleans, which at the time was called Jazz Town, but don't worry about that. Get it. See what it would have been like in the mid-70s to have a Stunt Spectacular with a guy who vaguely looks like Roger Moore.
Oh, Matt, you're the best. All right. Shall we press now, on?
Pits of Gloria, we are moving. We're moving over to what, Matt?
Pizza
what
Gloria.
What are we gonna say?
I don't know. They get significantly shorter from here on out because they're just little moments we catch in the gift shop and the bathroom. So let's let this be a surprise. Maybe it's the bathroom. It might be the gift shop. Who knows?
All right. So here's the third audio slideshow.
Marty, now we're in the 007 Shelthorne gift shop. What sticks out to you? What do you gotta have?
Okay, well, I gotta have this leather-bound journal with a 007 imprint and this beanie with a 007, what would you call that, patch on it?
A leather patch.
Yeah, yeah. There's also some 007 keychains that are stunning.
There's some crazy stuff and some good stuff. Like, there's a great kind of behind-the-scenes magazine making of on Her Majesty's Secret Service.
Only $5, you can get a James Bond lighter, which is just
lighter.
A disposable lighter with a silhouette of James Bond, and then it says 007.
The best thing maybe in here is the 007 snow globe, where it's kind of a giant 007 standing atop the Alpine range, but he looks more like, well, who would you say that looks like?
He kind of looks like, you can just imagine like a beige circle with two black dots as eyes and no other facial features, holding what looks to be like, well, not a gun as much as, it seems like the base of the gun was painted beige as to become part of his hand.
It's like he's holding a charcoal briquette and he's Peter Lorre.
Yeah, and his hair isn't right because he's got no formed hair. It's just his round little head has a black splotch on the top that's meant to be his hair.
Can you talk about what you heard when you went in the bathroom?
Oh, yeah. When I went to the restroom, I didn't notice it before, but this time they were playing the chicken hypnotist audio from the movie. So it was, as I was peeing, it was like, you're going to love chicken. You used to be repulsed by chicken, the flesh of the chicken, but now you won't be able to get enough. You're healed and now you love chicken. But I mean, I do love chicken.
But you didn't before?
No.
Wow. All right, well, next stop, the museum.
The coin press. No, we got to do the coin press.
Coin press, right. We got a couple postcards, some patches. We like to get an ornament for the tree and some gift chocolates for Matt and Phil. All right. Let's see what we got here.
I think the best one is maybe this one.
The Pitts Gloria one, yeah. So talk about the options we've got here.
I've got one that says I Love Switzerland, one that says Pitts Gloria with a James Bond silhouette, one with, what are those called again?
The gondola?
A gondola, and then one with Pitts Gloria and the different mountains labeled. So I want to do that one.
So you have to have 220 Swiss francs.
What?
I think that
two,
is...
Oh.
But I think that is the 20 for the pressing and the... I don't have...
You have any change?
I've got a 5-franc coin, a 10, and a 20.
Oh.
Do you have a 2?
I think I just have a 5.
Well, listeners, I'm sorry to disappoint. We might not be doing a penny press.
Huh.
Oh, I almost bought a jacket because they have these jackets that are modeled after what the henchmen wore in Honor Majesty's Secret Service, the like golden black Olympic jackets. But when you get real close, they just have 007 written all over the back, and it doesn't quite do it.
So, I don't have any change, but maybe we'll come back later.
Yeah. You can hear some of the early 2000s soft rock they got going on here in the entry level. But we'll be back in a trip through the museum.
Exciting stuff.
Matt, nothing is more exciting podcasting than looking for change and just sort of figuring out if you have correct change.
Here's what completely saved that. You say to the, you apologize to the listeners for not having correct change. That's what made that hilarious. And I would also put Amanda's description of the snow globe James Bond up there in the annals of podcasting visuals.
Yeah, like I'm that. Trying to remember
I completely like know exactly what that looks like. It says made in China on the bottom. It's just a poor paint job.
I'm trying to remember if I took a picture of that. I hope I did. If I did, I'll post it. But also, I'm really glad we're doing this because I'm already reliving this trip. It's been almost 2 weeks out. Well, 2 weeks from this day, at least. And it's a wonderful trip down memory lane.
Maybe the irony of this all is, Matt, that now that we're reliving it, you will officially be over the jet lag.
Oh, that's what it takes. Yeah. Or it's going to hit me twice. All right.
Now, I'm on the Pizza Gloria website, which I highly recommend anyone who wants to even remotely put a visual with this. Go to Matt's Instagram, of course, but also go to the Schlitthorn website, where you can do a 360 view of things.
Oh,
I clicked on another view, and it just decided to play the James Bond theme for me. So
this place seems
to love an unexpected sound cue.
The whole thing is really heavily themed. Even when you get to the base of the mountain, like in the Lauterbrunnen Glacial Valley, where you're going to take the first cable car up, there's a huge George Lazenby, and it's just like, it does get your blood pumping. I have to say, I got pretty excited.
I guess maybe we'll find out as you're going to go through this museum next. I guess my question for you is, does it feel unofficial?
Yeah. It feels kind of like Kevin McClory did it.
Yeah. I'd imagine
it's got a real never say never again vibe as far as Bond exhibits go.
Sure.
Because it doesn't feel like a Bond expert did it.
Right. And it also, just your description of the gift shop's items, for me, it didn't sound like it was nearly the official Eon merch of the Bond in Motion exhibit.
I don't know. It has to be licensed by them. I should say that the museum itself is really expertly done and pretty impressive and detailed, and there's a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff I'd never seen before, and so it's really worth the trip for that. So you kind of get a bland kitsch from everything else surrounding it, but then the museum itself is pretty hardcore.
Well, this does seem like a must travel to for any Bond fan.
I would definitely recommend it.
And it's one of these things that they just sort of built for the movie and then left there or blew up. And
no,
it
was being built already as a restaurant. And then they came along and said, hey, we'll finish it. And they basically said, you can shoot here if you finish it and design the interior and put in a helipad. And so the production did. And then it remained a restaurant after that, I believe.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. So now, Matt, our next, if you were to be believed, the next thing we're going to hear is you and Amanda heading through the museum.
Either that, and somewhere in here is the bathroom. So let's just play it and see.
I'm very excited.
Roulette.
Here we go.
Okay, I'm actually going to enter into the restroom. I won't talk, but maybe you can hear what I hear when I go on. Yeah.
You're very sure of yourself, aren't you? Suppose I were to kill you for a thrill.
Tracy just appeared in the mirror.
I must say, it's a treat having a man here for once.
Oh, it's Ruby. Okay, I actually had to take a Walther PPK, so I'm gonna say goodbye for a sec.
Wow.
I managed to get a Walther PPK even in remote recordings.
Matt, that is, I have to go to that bathroom.
You do. I have video of it too, so I'll try to put that up as well.
That really sounds just the way you go, oh, it's Ruby.
It's amazing. And when you come out of the bathroom, I'll try to put this video up as well. It's basically like the opening gun barrel sequence, because like the doors to each the men's and the women's bathroom do like kind of like a open side swipe open, and there you're just standing
cool.
there. Yeah. And it's kind of like they're like frosted glass. It's really something.
Now, as a fan of Bond, what would you rate this bathroom? Over, hang on. Let me, we got to have a,
okay.
Let's establish a bathroom let's say that the bathroom at the Grove, you know, the marble.
Yeah.
With the full door, you know, yeah. in each stall.
Yeah.
Let's say that bathroom is an 8.
Okay.
As far as public restrooms are concerned.
We're doing a scale of 1 to 10, not 007.
Oh, you know what? Of course we're doing a 007.
Okay.
So let's say that is a 006 of bathrooms, Matt.
Uh-huh.
The Grove bathroom. What yeah. would the Pitz Gloria restaurant / museum bathroom be?
008.
008?
It's
whoa,
so
through
good.
The roof.
When Tracy or Ruby or Moneypenny appear bigger than life in this bathroom in front of you, it's incredible.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Now, let me ask this question. What do you think would be the cost of doing this in my own home?
I could do it for you for 10 grand. I think if you're going to buy it, have a contractor do it, it's going to cost you $30,000 to $50,000.
Wow! So they went all in on this.
Yeah, they really spent a lot of money. Fully restored the like gold wood lattice work that's on the stairwell. You know that Tracy pushes Grunther through. I think.
Yeah.
I forget, but that's all there, and it's actually metal, but it looks really.
I mean,
cool.
How many visitors a day? How many visitors a day do you think they're getting there that are specifically there for James Bond?
For James Bond? Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
I mean, people are casually there for James Bond.
Totally. But
like someone like me?
Yeah. It's got to be in the low. It's got to be like
under 10.
A dozen a week.
Yeah, probably.
You know?
Yeah, because you got to be a real hardcore Bond fan. I know we all talk about how much Honor Majesty's is coming back up in the esteem of viewers, but I don't think in mainstream, because even those people
like
I
all
talked
the
to
movies, yeah,
they were still like, who's this guy, what's this?
Totally. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Unfortunate that they were saddled with the location of a George Lazenby movie.
Yeah, but that being said, this location is so good, and as we now listen into these recordings as we go into the museum, the best part about it is it's very detailed but also has quite a sense of humor, as you will find in one of the exhibits specifically.
Oh, wow.
All right, here we are, just about to enter the 007 Museum here. Maybe you can hear the theme to Honor Majesty's Secret Service playing, and the entryway has the posters to all the movies. Marty, which of these posters stick out to you? Is it...
The one with the woman's buttocks. I like this one with the... James Bond is back in action. Everything he touches turns to excitement.
That's the classic Goldfinger with the three pictures of Connery in the black. She's previously talking about the For Your Eyes Only one, where Roger Moore is pitched under the teepee of the lady in the unitard.
What really stands out, though, is the GoldenEye poster.
Oh, take it easy. All right, we're heading in. Oh, there's the Daniel Craig wall.
Ooh, hello.
His posters are all of a kind. Look at that. That's pretty nice. They match, you know? It's a nice set.
Yeah.
Whoa. Now we're in this hallway where there's just kind of a... Oh, it's like you're... Oh, yeah. It's like you're in the opening credits of On Her Majesty's Secret Service. All right. So. Okay, I'm in the museum, and there's a red hotline telephone that you can lift the receiver and press the button to hear M's order. Sounds like a very young M.
Searching for you in Cairo, Amsterdam, and Madrid. Your mission is to track down Ernst Stavro Blofeld. He's said to be lurking in the Swiss Alps. He leads an obscure institute for...
Anyway, that's enough of that. Look at this. There's the map of all of the, like, locations of the James Bond films.
There's the movie playing in the other room.
Honor Majesty's Secret Service? Mm-hmm. What part is it on?
Skiing.
Ooh. Here's the portrait of Queen Elizabeth II that's in the movie. I don't know if it's the same one or not. Doesn't really say.
What the hell is that?
Oh my god, there's a giant kilt that you're supposed to walk under. This is hilarious.
There's a big dick in here.
No. Alright, hold on, I gotta take video of this.
Okay, so I'll try to post the video of that as well. I turn the corner and there's Amanda standing under George Lazenby's giant kilt. And it's meant to be, like, you watch a video in there. It's like there's a TV screen and it's meant to be a little, like, booth that you go into. But, you know, the kilt only comes down to about shoulder height or so. It's really funny.
That's so weird. Yeah. Now, Matt, what are your thoughts as you've entered this museum? Are you surprised by how detailed it is? Are you overwhelmed by the amount of money they're spending on this? Like, what is going through your head as you're a visitor there?
I don't know. I'm impressed by it, and I feel like I want to take in every little thing, but I'm also very conscious of the fact that, like, Amanda's such a game traveler, but I don't want to, like, stay here all day and make her sit at this thing,
right?
You know? So
yeah.
I kind of tried to do it in a measured time. She was already so game to do all this, and I mean, we had such a good time. So I tried to take it in as much as possible, but I didn't linger on every single little detail. But there is a lot to look at, and especially as I talk about it later, there's this smart table that's just a giant screen, and it has all these behind-the-scenes photos, and you can kind of, they're interactive, you can kind of touch them and activate them, and there was
so
one
it's
about...
It's like the table in Casino Royale.
Yes, it is. Yes, but there's also one. I believe it was the production took over the town of Lauterbrunnen and Murren, and I think there was no venereal diseases in the area until this movie came to shoot there. There's some sort of segment on the table about that, which is like, that's what's so great about this museum. It's pretty small and you can get through it pretty quickly, but it has a lot of little nuggets like that.
Are they saying they all came from George Lazenby?
It had to have.
Right?
Yeah. It had to have. It wasn't Desmond Llewellyn. Or maybe
his
it
hands.
Was. And I think there's one more museum piece, and then after that, one other little thing.
So this is, we're playing James Bonding 7, right?
Yes.
Okie dokie. Here we go, everyone.
Okay, so we've been through the museum. It's actually pretty impressive. I don't think I've ever been in a museum that is dedicated solely to one film.
Yeah, and it's pretty state-of-the-art as far as, like, the multimedia.
Yeah, there's a smart table that kind of reminds me of the one in Quantum of Solace, except it's got a bunch of, like, photos from Honor Majesty's Secret Service. But the best thing is this giant kilt that you can walk in, and it's like right at shoulder height, so you have to separate it like a curtain, but it's like you're walking into Bond's kilt, and there's a video in there, and that's where you learn all about George Lazenby right in his crotch.
Yeah, it was a thrilling experience.
Then there's like the cabin of a Huey airplane, or I don't think that's a Huey.
Yeah.
You can do like a helicopter simulator. There's the smart table, and along all the walls are these stainless steel kind of multimedia displays that talk about little moments from the film. There's a shooting script. There's a giant crest of arms, Blofeld's crest of arms. All these little TV exhibits you can listen to. There's a little photo thing where you can put your face on Bond or Blofeld or Tracy. I can't right now.
Oh, please. It's so good, please. Can you do it while you're recording?
Hold on, we gotta take a picture. Explain what you're seeing.
It's a woman did her face in the hole, but it's just a tiny face, and it's really funny. You'll have to see. Great, that's funny.
Yeah.
Whoa, look at this. You stick your head in this box. I'm not sure why. Oh, it looks like you're falling off the cliff like the skier henchman. Look, Marty.
Wow.
Oh my god.
It's what it would be like to fall off that cliff.
There's wind blowing too.
And then you see yourself die.
Lovely. Wow. Look at the stuntman for Diana Rigg.
Oh my god.
You know, this is really something. You can also get in the bobsled. A bobsled just like the one. And then it's pretty much over. But we're going to probably go in and see a little bit of the movie. And Marty, out of 007, 0 to 007, what would you rate the Pizza Gloria Shiltorn experience?
I'm giving it a 007.
I am too. This is absolutely worth the trek, whether you're a Bond fan or not. But if you are, that certainly helps it. But just the scenery, it's majestic.
Yeah, it's really fun. You know, anyone can climb a mountain, but not anyone can go to a James Bond museum at the top.
I think you have those reversed. Anyone can go to a James Bond museum, but no one.
Anyone can climb a mountain? Well, we didn't really do much climbing.
No, but we sure feel like we did. I can barely breathe.
Dory and I are not great co-travelers.
Oh,
in
really?
The sense of like, she'll get a little bored if I'm like in the Bond exhibit too long, or vice versa, like if it's something like that. But like, I have to say, Amanda seems very game. She really does seem very game.
Well, we've worked out quite a good system where she's a bit more of a globetrotter than I am, right? I'm a little bit more of a homebody, and she likes to go anywhere. So she's figured out like, oh, if I kind of go to these places where he's probably more interested in going, we'll both have an equally good time. And it's kind of working. And this has turned out to be one of our favorite trips of all time. Just Switzerland alone, on top of the Bond exhibit. Switzerland was beautiful. Right. But on my Instagram is also a picture of the lady that she talks about trying to match her face up to Lazenby skiing. And it's hilarious.
Do you have any... Could you help me a little bit with this head in the box where you die? What is happening?
It's like, you know, you go to Disneyland and they have those Nickelodeons you can watch, you know,
yes.
Where you put your head in the view frame.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, if I remember correctly, it's you get the perspective of what the skier chasing Bond sees when he goes off the cliff.
Oh, okay.
You get to see yourself falling down the cliff and die.
Okay, now how do you know the death is imminent?
Because you're falling down a cliff.
Yeah. But you say, so there's no chance of survival.
Do you remember how high those cliffs are? They're sheer cliffs.
Sure. But, you know, there's been a couple of ladies and fellas who've been sucked out of commercial airliners and lived. So,
oh, really?
You know, these things happen.
Well, tell that to Goldfinger.
Oh, I will. In the sequel, Goldfinger. Two.
Gold. <dump. laughs> All right, I've got one last little surprise here, and it's just one more quick Bond location. Just when you thought Pizza Gloria could be all the film location satisfaction you needed, here we are in the small village of Lauterbrunnen, where Bond goes to the phone booth to try to call MI6, and he gets shot out by Ilsa Irma Bunt's thugs. We just had a huge bowl of boiling cheese.
It's called a raclette, and it's a Swiss meal.
Is it possible to be drunk on cheese? Because that's how I feel.
Well, we also had quite a bit of beer.
Yeah. So he gets shot at, and then Tracy rushes up in her big red muscle car, and he gets back in. And that's where we are in Lauterbrunnen, which is just adorable little town, right?
It's really, really cute. We're kind of in a valley here, and all surrounding us, gushing down from these high cliffs, are waterfalls. There's probably about eight.
At least. Well, I don't have much more to say other than it's real cool to be here. What do you think, Marty?
Yeah, actually, today's been a really good day. We did a little hike down through this town, Gimmelwald. We saw some goats, a cat, some cows, two ponies. And, it's been a great day.
Not to mention, we went through the falls inside a rock, like inside the caves.
Yeah, the Tremblebach Falls, I think they're called. Was quite astonishing. It was like a Disneyland ride.
You take a big, like, diagonal elevator through this whole giant tunnel board up through these rocks, and then it It's like this whole corkscrew path through the Alps. It's incredible.
This has been my favorite day so far, I think.
Well, and we're glad that you listeners can be here with us. Let's go get some more cheese.
No.
And now, that's it, Matt. Yeah.
That was an amazing journey. I just want to hear a little bit more about this melted cheese situation.
It's called raclette.
How is it served?
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's like basically they take a full potato and dice it up into what seems like six or eight chunks and then serve it in a like skillet of bubbling cheese that you have to wait for it to cool down. And then it's just this gooey thing that you shovel into your mouth and pay
that
for it later.
Sounds amazing.
We had so much cheese. We went to Gruyere as well and to the H.R. Giger Museum and the cheese factory there. And we just ate so much cheese that we never even got fondue there because we felt like, well, that's we're just having it in another form all day long. Let's
yeah.
We can get fondue at home.
I immediately thought that what you were talking about was fondue, but you're telling me it's not. It's a potato dish, and it sounds great.
It was great. I'm still paying for it.
Okay, Matt, I want you to rate your vacation on a scale of 00 to 007.
It's a 007 for sure.
007 vacation. Ugh.
It was, I think, it may be our favorite vacation we've taken. It's up there with Japan.
You know, I've got a week off coming up in July, and Dory and I were discussing where to go. She's like, well, it's your turn. It's your turn to sort of pick where we go.
Oh.
So, you know, part of me was like, I just want to go back to London. But now I'm like, well, why don't I go to this Piz Gloria thing?
You should.
I don't know.
But I think she'd like it too.
Well, yeah, I think if I go to London, though, I could also record a lot of things walking around London.
That's right.
Asking people if they're James Bond fans. I'll go sit in front of the painting at the natural at the National Gallery and wait for someone to sit next to me.
You should. That would be
bloody
great.
Big ship. So, I mean, I have to say that this experiment, I have thoroughly enjoyed it.
I have too. I didn't know if this was going to work. I hope the listeners enjoyed it. It's a true travelogue. In fact, it's an audio slideshow.
Copyright Matt Gourley, 2018.
Yeah. Well,
we have some news for everybody. We thought we only had we have one more movie. We forgot Dr. No. Dr. No is also a movie we have left to watch.
Yeah, we have one more movie before we get to the Craigs, the final two Craigs. Yeah.
So I guess my question to you, man, we're going to find out next week when we come back with The Spy Who Loved Me. Are you thinking save Craigs for last or end with Dr. No?
I'd like to save Craigs for last.
All righty.
But it's up to you.
No, it's actually up to you.
I guess it is up to me. Oh, well, we'll see then. You'll have to tune in, won't you?
All right, everyone. Thank you for listening. James Bonding
will return.
Hey, this is Arnie Niekamp from the improv fantasy podcast Hello from the Magic Tavern. I fell through a dimensional portal behind a Burger King in Chicago into the magical land of Foon, and I started a podcast. Season 3 has just begun with a brand new adventure to defeat the Dark Lord. If you're a new listener or you've fallen behind, Season 3 is a great jumping on point. And we've got great guests like Justin McElroy.
I sound like a fancy college professor. Eight nuts.
Rachel Bloom.
You all see my collection of men corpses and one woman.
Felicia Day and Colton Dunn.
You've seen me have intercourse with a variety of species.
It's a bummer.
Andy Daly.
You have the members of Genesis listed, but Phil Collins has crossed out and then circled and crossed out again.
Yes, I have killed Phil Collins twice.
Thomas Middleditch.
Jesus! I mean, Jazos! Ruler of the Eighth Circle!
And that's just the beginning. Season 3 of Hello from the Magic Tavern is out now. Listen in Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.